Hi, this is Sudeep Bose. Thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to speak with you about reckless driving. Indeed, it used to be in Northern Virginia that reckless driving was considered a traffic offense and not taken very seriously by defendants charged with that particular crime. But it is not a traffic offense. It's being considered quite seriously nowadays, particularly with the advent of programs like the Smooth Operator program. The game has definitely changed, and it is a serious charge. Reckless driving in and of itself is a Class 1 misdemeanor. It's punishable by a year in jail and up to $2,500 in fines. But more importantly, in some cases, it is punishable by the suspension of a driver's license for up to 6 months. And in many jurisdictions, the sentence may include admission into a aggressive driving class. More on that later, because it is a new item and it does affect how the attorney handles your case. The Northern Virginia jurisdictions are getting quite serious on the issue of sentencing in aggressive driving cases, particularly those in which the speed is above 90 miles per hour. One could expect 1 day in jail for every mile per hour above 90 miles per hour in Fairfax General District Court, definitely, and likely in Arlington General District Court as well. It's a bit more lenient still in Loudoun and in Prince William for most of the judges, but in Fairfax and Arlington, the general rule seems to be 1 day in jail for every mile per hour above 90 miles per hour. But certainly there are some elements that go to that analysis. They include the facts of the case, the time of the driving, the manner of the driving, the defendant's past history, driving history as reflected in the DMV record or MVA record, and the interaction with the police officer, whether it was a hostile, belligerent relationship or whether it was a friendly relationship of cooperation. These are the elements that the attorneys are looking for in analyzing the reckless driving case and trying to posture the case for a possible defense or a possible plea bargain or the analysis that the case is going in for a trial. When a defendant is charged with reckless driving, I think it's the responsibility of that defendant to at least do some preliminary research on the case. I think that it is the responsibility of the defendant to read the code section that's on the charging document. The charging document is the summons, the yellow sheet of paper in most Northern Virginia jurisdictions, and the small yellow little sheet of paper in the U.S. Alexandria District Court. The code sections are cited. Most of the code sections on reckless driving are available on vatrafficlaw.com, and I invite everyone to at least look at the code section to find out what it is the government must prove in proving reckless driving against the defendant, against you. And they have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt that you placed willfully and intentionally the life, limb, or property of another in danger. And that is a heavy burden. In many cases, it is met by the government, but in others, it's not. For instance, in cases where the speed is at issue, reckless driving based on a speed of 20 miles per hour or above, how did the police officer or the law enforcement officer come to determine the speed? Was it by radar? Was it by a pace? If it was by pace, how long was the pace? Where was the police officer in comparison to the defendant? How much traffic was there? Pay particular attention to those issues when you have a pace case. When you have a laser or a radar case, the calibrations become an issue. Was the radar calibrated within 6 months of the use in your case? Was the radar tested before and after use in your case? These are all issues. Does the police officer have the calibration sheets with him in the court of law? He has to have them in order to admit the speed based on the speed as assessed through the radar machine. These are things that you want to be aware of, and certainly these are things that defense counsel is aware of in analyzing possible defenses to these cases. My all-time favorite is when we have a school bus, when you're charged with reckless driving for passing a school bus. Well, the code is specific. You must analyze the actual signage on the school bus. You must analyze the size of the stop sign on the school bus, and the government must prove beyond a reasonable doubt not only the fact that you passed the school bus, but they must prove the size and the signage and all of the elements that are in the particular code section. And it becomes quite a burden in those cases. The defense bar has fun with these cases. We have fun in analyzing the cases for possible defenses and in working out agreements with the government in cases where we can show that there will be a weakness if the government goes to trial. And this is not a certainty. It's not an assured end result, but certainly attorneys that are familiar with the traffic laws of Virginia that are in court every day or once per week or twice per week on reckless driving cases are familiar with what's going on and are familiar with the possible defenses to these cases and can help you in asserting those issues to the proper people. You can expect on your day in court to basically be able to plea bargain with the government yourself, and hopefully you will do that if you have the capacity and the ability, and if you have read the code section, and if you feel comfortable in doing that on your own. There are many defendants that come to me that have top secret clearances or other issues or have other charges that are pending against them or have not sterling driving records, and they need assistance of counsel because they know that extra reckless driving conviction is going to basically shut them out of the auto insurance policy or is going to lead to very stiff fines and or imprisonment because they've had that not sterling pass. In those cases, certainly I advise people to get the advice of an attorney before going into court on the pro se stands. As far as representing yourself, be careful of representing yourself in Fairfax General District Court. In Fairfax, the attorneys won't even talk to you. The Commonwealth Attorney's Office will not speak with an unrepresented party. And I guess they won't do that because they feel that it's just unfair. These are attorneys against lay people, and they would rather have the layperson just go to the judge. Well, what happens in that case is you lose one layer of negotiations. When you have an attorney in Fairfax General District Court, you have two layers of negotiations. The first is with the Commonwealth Attorney. You present the case. The attorney presents the case to the Commonwealth Attorney, tries to work out a plea bargain in the case. If there are certainties, probability is high that there will be a conviction, to work out some sort of a plea agreement in the case. And if he or she fails in that attempt, the second layer is, for lack of a better term, the judge. You certainly don't want to put all of your eggs into one basket in going before the judge. If you have a strict judge on that particular day, then you may be out of luck. If you have a understanding judge that's willing to listen to your defense or possible defenses, then certainly you'll have a better time. But you never want to put your eggs into one basket in Fairfax, or at least not in my opinion, because you always want that extra layer of negotiation available to you. Aggressive driving classes. This is a phenomenal issue in Northern Virginia right now. The taping of this is occurring on July the 25th. And I implore you to review with counsel or on your own the possibility that you will be placed into an aggressive driving class. As of the beginning of July 2001, Arlington General District Court has aggressive driving as a component to reckless driving cases. If you have two elements of aggression, one is the manner in which you are driving, whether you are going in and out of traffic, and then the speed, you can basically expect as part of your sentence admission into a reckless driving, or rather an aggressive driving class. And that does have ramifications. There are different tiers of these classes. It all starts out with an initial assessment, which is your first session for the aggressive driving class. And if upon that assessment you are considered to be a person that suffers from anger or anger-related problems, you can be put into an anger management class with a mental health professional for upwards of 3 to 4 month time periods. It's a tremendous burden on defendants. I can't stress the point enough that if your facts of the case are egregious, you must look at the parameters of your case as far as sentencing is concerned. And one of those parameters, one of those elements in the sentencing, and certainly in Arlington as of the date of this recording, is the aggressive driving program. Take a look at it with seriousness, because the program does have some downside. It does require a level of commitment from the defendant which is higher than your ordinary driver improvement class. A word of caution on the U.S. District Court in Alexandria. Case in point, I believe on July 17th, a judge on the U.S. Alexandria District Court sentenced a young man of 28 years of age to jail of 1 day, yanked the license for 6 months, and put him on active probation for 1 year based on a charge of reckless driving, 92 miles per hour in a 50-mile zone. The judges on the Alexandria U.S. District Court have a very low tolerance. It is a tolerance which has a threshold level, in my opinion, which is a bit lower than the threshold levels at the state courts. Be wary. Just a word of advice from me to you. Be wary if you are dealing with the Alexandria District Court. I certainly hope that this talk has been somewhat helpful to you in starting your research on your charge and in starting to formulate what you're going to do with your charge. Reckless driving, again, is not a charge that should be taken lightly, particularly not nowadays with the Smooth Operator program and with the judges being very keenly aware of the fatalities that are occurring from aggressive driving and road rage on the streets of Northern Virginia and the local jurisdictions. I hope that you consult an attorney if you have particularly egregious facts, and I hope that you have taken the time to write down what you have stated and what has happened in your interaction with this officer. They're vitally important to an SAS. If your relationship with the police officer is good, that certainly does wonders in some cases. If the relationship is poor, if there's egregious facts, driving very quickly and very fast in residential roads, or if it's during rush hour, or if it's something else that gives you some pause in the back of your mind, hey, some judge may not think too highly of this, I do recommend that you consult at least a competent counsel to assess whether you need an attorney for your case. In choosing an attorney, be careful. Get an attorney that understands how the judges are sentencing clients and defendants in these cases. Some attorneys handle traffic matters once every blue moon, and then there are others that are in court three times a week on reckless driving cases and DWI cases. Well, certainly the advantage that the attorney has that's in court all the time is not just the practice and the familiarity with the judges and the prosecutors. It's the fact that the attorney understands the pattern of sentencing in these cases, and those patterns change. So you always want to get an attorney that does this on a day-in, day-out type basis to make sure that you understand and that you're getting advice on the trend in your particular jurisdiction. Well, I certainly thank you for this time. It's been almost 15 minutes of your time in listening to me. I hope it's been helpful, and I hope it's opened your eyes to the charge of reckless driving. Indeed, it is a charge which should be taken seriously by defendants. Thanks so much for your time. Thank you, Chuck.